Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tass of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I have the goods, the Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. We're going to have Raven scratch-offs by the end of the week, maybe next week, but at least in the near short term. It's been a lucky batch, the pressure luck, and the lucky sevens. We will be out on Thursday, beginning Thursday at Fadley's. On Friday, we'll be at Pizza John's in Essex. It has been quite a whirlwind week here. If you are listening to the AM radio station at WNST, you'll be hearing lots and lots of conversations from Ocean City, Maryland, with lots of elected, unelected, cool people, smart people, people with a cause, people with a purpose, just great conversations that I had at Mako. All of it brought to you by our friends at Curia Wellness in conjunction with Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as GBMC, our newest sponsor. And Curio and Foreign Daughter invited me out on the golf course on Sunday. I'm a little sunburned, for everybody can see that. I'm wearing my Curio Orioles shirt. And Luke, I told Wendy Bronfine and Michael Bronfine out in their tent at the BMW Caves, and it was a great event. I mean, I've had a crazy couple of days. Ocean City this, Ocean City that, Mako this, Senator Van Hollen, just all of this stuff going on. Drive home. I'm doing this crazy 27th anniversary with all these food. By the way, I got some Fuji-san still stuck in my teeth here, some peanuts from that chicken pad Thai. But, I told Wendy, every day I get together with you and we do radio together, podcasts, whatever people call this at this point, whatever the kids are calling it. And I'm like, are we doing Ravens or are we doing Orioles? And like, this is the first time in a long time you're like, we're doing Orioles. We got good news. You put your Orioles shirt on. So I don't know what good news is. It's news though, and it's interesting. And they won. And even Wendy's son, who's 5 years old, and I will tell you, I talked a lot of bananas with this kid out on the golf course on Sunday. I did. I talked a lot of bananas with this kid. He said to me, he came up to me, he's like, the Orioles won 12 to nothing today. And I said, on a golf course, kid. Really? They won. Really? So I was not a part of the Oriole game on Sunday, as you can well imagine, out with Scottie Scheffler, the greatest golfer on earth. But it's been quite a weekend. I mean, for the Ravens and Dallas and the Orioles, and it's churning on, and we're it's close to Buffalo, but the golf took a lot of the oxygen out around here, didn't it?
It did. It did. Full disclosure, I didn't pay attention to that whatsoever because I've been busy monitoring what happened in Dallas on Saturday night. And we'll get into that.
And a near perfect game.
I mean, that was the thing. I mean, it was just it's we know what it's been for the Orioles all year, but here more specifically recently, when you have a last place team, the residue from the trade deadline, the most recent batch of not so encouraging injury news, and what the outfield has looked like, and what we've expected the pitching to be, although the pitching hasn't been maybe that bad, save for a couple games here over the last couple weeks. But I mean, Friday night was just a reminder of, for anyone who loves baseball, how beautifully random and unexpected the game can be. Because let's face it, you and I haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about Brandon Young because there hasn't been a whole lot worth talking about in regards to Brandon Young. And look, I don't say that with any disrespect, but you're talking about a guy 26, 27 years old, not really a prospect here because of all the injuries and guys they've traded, like Morton and guys on the IL done for the year. Zach Eflin here recently with undergoing back surgery. He's kind of just been there, right? And he's made starts, and his first 10 starts did not go well to any meaningful, memorable degree. But he was perfect into the eighth inning. I did not have on my 2026 Orioles bingo card, Nestor, to be sending out a WNST Baltimore Positive text alert relatively late on a Friday night that Brandon Young had a perfect game into the eighth inning. And I mean,
You know,
my
you're not
goodness.
an Ocean City guy. You're a Wildwood guy. I was on 60th Street. You remember where you are when perfect games happen, okay? I mean, I remember no hitters in the seventh inning back in the 1980s that I was on dates and had to like stop a date to like look up at the television because that's the way this works, right? And you and I have this whole no hitter perfect game thing. You almost got one earlier in the year. So, I was in between a bunch of events, and I was about to go into Fager's Island to see Bad with Names. Jason Siemers' band was playing. He, of course, very famously, when you were a boy, wrote the song, the Oriole baseball song you would hear at the ballpark. Oriole baseball, feel the magic where you are. I feel like a kid again. He's a great friend of mine. He's off to Morocco taking pictures. And I just saw, I wanted to see his band. He's my dude. I was, my hotel was a block away. You sent me a personal text. You sent the text. I was literally just walking out the door to go to Fager. Didn't even think about a baseball game. And
No.
when I went into Fager's, first thing I did was plant in front of a TV. And I saw it get broken up. But I watched it. So you and me and us and WNST and our tech service, brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, sent me to the television on Friday night at Fager's Island in Ocean City, on my phone. So I know the power of it. And if you are an Oriole fan and you care at all, maybe more than you do about the bananas or whatever, but if you like baseball, and it's been such a crappy season and
Yeah.
so many ways, that if you did get our text alert, now 6,000 of you still do, if you got it and you ran to the television, I'm guilty as charged, because like I wasn't gonna miss it, you know what I mean? Like,
Sure.
and it was there, and I was literally about two. I walked a little bit, and I'm like, I wonder if it'll still be in progress, because you were sending it to me as I was leaving the hotel room, but I had a 2 minute walk, 5 minute walk, and I'm like, I hope I get to see it, and I did. And how about the fact that it was Urias too? Even crazier.
Yeah, and how about the fact that, I mean, God bless him, he had a great outing. Just set your feet, and I'm almost positive he throws him out and he's taken a perfect game into the ninth inning. And the pitch count was fine. So, I mean, but what a great night in that regard. I mean, if you're just a baseball fan, right? I mean, anyone who is a dedicated, knowledgeable baseball fan knows the piece of trivia. Who is the only man to throw a perfect game in a World Series game? Don Larsen. Go look at Don Larsen's career numbers, right? There are hundreds and hundreds of pitchers who had much more accomplished, distinguished careers than Don Larsen, who, by the way, pitched for the Orioles before and after he threw that perfect game for the Yankees in what, 1956, I think it was. But that's the ultimate example of you do not have to be a great or even a good pitcher to flirt with something magical in the game. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that this means that Brandon Young's now destined to be anything special, to do anything that is more than just what was a really great outlier on Friday night. But it was fun, and he pitched well, and he earned the win, and the Orioles won in convincing fashion. And it set the tone for what ended up being a really fun weekend, because then, of course, you got the other WNST alert on what, late Saturday morning, that Dillon Beavers had been summoned to Houston and made his major league debut. And I will fully apologize. I was in the middle of worship service at church on Sunday morning when the Samuel Basayo news came. So that's why you did not get the alert. So that's on me. I'll own that one. But he makes his debut. There's no situation with Beavers or Basayo. They both have gotten their first major league hit out of the way. So it's good. You're not having a Jackson Holliday 0 for 25 kind of start where it's like, ooh, this is awkward. Are they going to have to send them back down? And, we'll see how these guys play. They're going to struggle because they're at the highest level in the world as it pertains to professional baseball. So they need to get acclimated, but they both looked apart as far as not being overmatched or overwhelmed, and they both tasted some success. And even Saturday night's defeat in extra innings, I mean, disappointing because they pitched well enough as a team to win that game if they got a timely hit, especially in extra innings when they just squandered opportunities. But you take two out of three from a Houston team that's in first place and playing well. I mean, it's good. I mean, at this point, we know that everything about the rest of this season is pointed towards next year.
Well,
And
small victories.
trying to figure things out, trying to get these young guys pointed in the right direction. Hey, on Sunday, and as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, the Orioles had a lineup that had eight. I won't say drafted because Samuel Basayo is an international signing. Imagine that, an international signing that's turned into one of the best prospects in baseball. And we're going to see what he looks like. But the thought of the Orioles doing that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I mean, this was an organization that didn't even try in the international the international pool, right? So to have that, to have their two best prospects who were on the cusp of being in the major leagues finally arrive and they take two out of three. I mean, that's fun. There's been so much that's gone wrong, including off the field with the season ticket stuff and how it's really alienated and offended the hardcore of the hardcore, most loyal Orioles fans here when you see the overall reception. As I wrote, they really needed to produce some good news, and they did this weekend. Now, there's still so much more that needs to be done between now and next March, let's say. But for this weekend, it was good. There were smiles. As Jordan Westberg said in the post game, doing his off the field Masson interview right after the game, he said, "Hey, this is what the fans have wanted. This is we're here. Like everyone's here now. That in this current wave of they're not all prospects because we're talking about guys. Some of these guys have been here a few years, but hey, they've got 8 out of 9 guys in that lineup on a nightly basis are." Guys that have been anywhere from 1-1s like Adley Rutschman and Jackson Holliday to a nice bonus international signing like Bisaio, who's a top 10 prospect in baseball right now, to, second round picks, sandwich picks, third round picks, guys like that. We've already seen it's not going to go perfectly. And that's not me sitting here saying that all these guys are going to figure it out. But we also know no matter what Mike Elias does this winter, no matter who is hired as the new manager, no matter what the coaching staff looks like, no matter what moves and signings or potential trades they might make here in the next few months, it's not going to work if this young core, the bulk of it, let's say, not every single guy necessarily, but the bulk of it, it's not going to work if these guys aren't as good as everyone thought they could be. So it's go time now, right? I mean, Jordan Westberg, Gunnar Henderson. We can nitpick and point to different things about them, but those guys are the least of their worries, right? Adley Rutschman and Colton Cowser, they need to hit. They need to be better than sub 700 OPS
So
kind of
does
guys.
Mayo, and so does Kerstad.
Well, Kerstad, I don't.
You're done. You're
I,
done.
well, I'm trying to be sensitive about this because there's clearly something going on with him that they've been very hush hush about. I don't know if it pertains to some of his past health issues. I don't know if
Right.
there's something else going on. So I'm trying to be sensitive in that because they have been very quiet about that. So you're hoping for the best. You're hoping it's nothing that extends beyond worrying about baseball, right? But we don't know. So he's kind of out of sight, out of mind, for lack of a better description right now. But for the guys that are here, the guys that are in the major leagues right now, you look at their roster, you look at their lineup on Sunday, which to me, it was akin to if you're a Baseball America magazine subscriber, they always do the off season and then they look at prospects and they'll project out what the lineup could look like 3 years, 3 years in the future. This is the kind of lineup that someone might have written in Baseball America 3 years ago and saying, "Hey, this could be the Orioles lineup in 2025." So it's here, but they need to produce. It's go time. You want as many of these guys as possible trending in the right direction. You want to see signs from Samuel Basayo and Dylan Beavers, and yes, Kobe Mayo, who, Mayo's been up and down. We've seen good, but we've seen not so good as well, right? So it's not.
But heralded as a guy that could hit 30 home runs in
Sure,
the show.
sure. So you want to see enough signs. There's going to be, and we're as guilty of this as anyone. There's been so much focus, and there will continue to be so much focus on the rotation and a bullpen that, let's face it, especially now in the wake of what does not sound like very promising news on Felix Bautista. We don't know for sure just yet, but we know it's not sounding good. So much focus is going to be on the pitching, and understandably so. But I'd be lying to you if I looked at this lineup right now and look, I like the potential. I like the fact it's homegrown. We've all been talking about these guys, but I'd be disingenuous if I didn't answer the question right now. If you asked me, could this team stand to have another impact bat somewhere in the middle of that order? Someone that's established, a veteran, whether it's a player you sign, a player you trade for, whatever.
Well, that's what Tyler O'Neill is about
That's
for
what you're hoping.
Santander.
You're hoping, right? But I think that's still going to be there. But this young core is going to have every opportunity the rest of the way. And look, even Ryan Mountcastle, and I think Sunday was a sign of what's to come for him. I don't think Ryan Mountcastle is going to be an everyday player in this lineup. I think he's going to become more of a, 3 times a week because They're going to play Mayo at first base. Bisaio is going to catch some, but he's going to DH some, and he's going to play a little bit of first base as well. You know, they're carrying three catchers now, because they still have Alex Jackson on the roster as well.
I was going to ask you what that means for Rutschman, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah.
I mean, Rutschman's still going to be the primary guy, right? But I think, you know, you look at this, those eight guys that we saw in the lineup Sunday, and let me give a subtle, not getting ahead of ourselves, but a subtle tip of the cap. Jeremiah Jackson's quietly done a pretty nice job in his opportunities, right? I said to you a week or two ago, maybe he becomes the Ramon Arias next year and moving forward. You know, he's played more outfield, you know, since being called up, but he's actually more of an infielder, right? So, but because they've had the need and the injuries and the trades in the outfield, they've kind of just stuck him out there. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he looks like a gold glove guy out there by any stretch, but he's learning and but he's looked okay swinging the bat. So,
The new Steve Pierce.
yeah, I mean, you'd love if he could be that good, but you know, this is opportunity, right? These guys, it's opportunity. Brandon Young is getting opportunities right now. His first 10 starts didn't look good. Friday looked good enough to say, hey, I'm interested to see what he looks like in his next start this coming week. So,
You mentioned their pitching's been better in general, and that's, I mean, the Marlins deal doesn't smell the way it did, but
yeah.
the rotation, it's also ripe with opportunity and thoughts of like Bradish coming over the hill,
Yeah,
right?
I mean, Bradish, I actually had a chance, you know, I watched his last start in Norfolk on MLB TV, and he missed bats. He looked pretty good, and that was even with a rain delay in the second inning. He pitched what I think it was 5 innings, with a relatively not a overly long rain delay, but enough that it disrupted him. But he's going to make one more start, and the plan then is for him to be reinstated. Tyler Wells, probably going to have two more outings, and then he's going to be reinstated. Bradish will be in the rotation. You know, I'm not expecting them to completely give him, you know, the no restrictor plate here or anything. He's not going to throw 110 pitches every start or anything like that. I mean, how many of these guys actually do that other than Dean Kramer on Sunday, who was fantastic?
But when he
But
starts, he'll be 3-4 innings, right?
I mean, he'll be more. You hope more than that. I mean,
Okay.
they're building him up at this point. I mean,
But
I
I
can
think
pull.
90 pitches in the minors is
Yeah,
60 in the big leagues to me.
I mean, maybe 70, right? I mean, and a lot of it's going to depend on how does it look, right? I mean, is he holding his velocity? Is he commanding his pitches? Is he not having a 28 pitch second inning that kind of drives up the fatigue and you know takes away the efficiency and the idea of being able to get into the later innings? So you're obviously going to be careful with him. You're going to be careful with Wells. I'm not sitting here saying that Kyle Bradish is going to come back and be the most dominant form of himself, but it sure beats the alternative of Grayson Rodriguez right now, who had elbow surgery and is out for the rest of the year. And, you know, who knows next year, right? I mean, you certainly aren't penciling him in to be the number one or the number two, that's for sure. So,
Well, I mean, it would mean something that Wells and Bradish are throwing the ball and Rodriguez and Bautista are not.
yeah,
And
exactly.
Kittredge and Baker are gone and Morton's not coming back and Kyle Gibson's not coming back. And, where are they going to go with this? They were not buyers at the trading deadline in the way that they could have been swapping out Colton Cowser for somebody else's number three starter that would be
Yeah.
around here next year. Which they were doing the last couple of years, a little bit more of that in regard to Eflin, who they had and they don't have anymore, right?
Right.
So, I mean, look, we have one of these stinkers of football games left this
Yeah.
week, whatever they are, and we have, 40, 50 games left on the baseball thing here. What I don't even know what the number is at this point. 40 something, right? 40 up, almost 50, right?
So, I
Whatever
mean,
it is.
6 weeks left, right? So, you know,
Yeah.
somewhere
So,
in that territory.
I watched the exhibition football game the other night, and as much as it is important to Keaton Mitchell, and it is important to Teddy Buchanan, and it is important
Tyler Loop.
to Tyler Loop, right? Whoever
He's
it
the
is,
kicker.
right?
Yeah.
So, like, there are people it's important to, and I would think this Oriole thing is sort of like that. Like, if you're watching because you like Gunner, you like the Orioles, and you're just into it, and you don't have anything else to do on Tuesday night. They're going West Coast a couple times here, and they're coming back here and playing the Dodgers. So they have, there's The Jim Palmer thing's happening, right? The Cal Ripken night is happening. So they put some marketing nights together. I hope it goes better than the Adam Jones night. Or I hope it goes better than Katie Griggs talking to Ed Norris about selling tickets, which, wow. But whatever they have left for these players, it's no different than an exhibition game for the Ravens and saying, here are my wares. Here's where I want you to think about me in the offseason. Not just what Mike Elias thinks or the next general manager, if he's run out of here October 4th or whatever, but what the perception of the ceiling for this operation could be if Moneybags spend some money and they get a pitcher. I shouldn't say if with Rodgers. I mean, he looks like a front line rotation guy.
He's
If
looked great.
Bradish comes back, now all of a sudden you got Bradish and him and Wells, and you throw in some of this and some Sugano magic, and Suarez is coming back,
Still
and
have Dean Kramer, who has just kind of become the innings eater for the group. I mean,
Brandon Young almost threw a perfect game in Texas the other night.
I mean, obviously there's still work to be done, but I mean, you just kind of said it. I mean, and I look, they have at the conclusion of business Sunday night, they have 38 games to go. They have
38. Okay.
roughly a quarter of the season left, just under a quarter of the season left. That's a lot of baseball. And now that doesn't mean if these young guys all play well that you say, hey, we're fine, right? We just need to go get this year's version of Kyle Gibson and, you know, go get a guy that can be a center fielder that can kind of just, you know, defensive. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll re-sign Cedric Mullins to a 1 year deal. I mean, that's entirely possible, right? I mean, not likely, but possible, let's say. But the point is, you don't want to be fooled. You don't want to talk yourself into the idea that if they do finish well here, that there isn't still major work to be done. But, well, you want to see them trending in the right direction, right? You want to see Samuel Basayo look like a guy that you're saying, okay, I think we could still stand to go acquire a legit bat, but I'm not so sure he won't be their cleanup hitter come next June, right? I mean, that's the kind of potential a lot of people see from him, including non-Orioles people who followed him in the minors. I mean, there are people that think this could be the most serious bat out of all the guys, you know, other than maybe, you know, I don't want to put him ahead of Gunnar because, you know, Gunnar's been a guy that, you know, last year more so, but we've seen what he can be at his best. So that, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on him, but go play, you know, go show what you can do. And I mean, he almost hit a home run on Sunday, was robbed of a home run, actually, which, you know, that's a short porch in right field at Houston. But still, I mean, it shows you he's got some, there's absolutely thunder in that bat. I mean, if you followed him in the minors at all, I mean, he hits some Ruthian type blasts. So the power is serious for him. Beavers, you know, I don't think he's the big time power guy, but I mean, all he did was hit this year. I mean, he's a 300 hitter at Triple A, and I get it's Triple A, but
What's it
you
come for him? Replacing Cedric Mullins in some sort of way?
I don't know. I think they view him probably more as a corner outfielder. You know, I think it's interesting because it's not like he had bad numbers prior to this year, but his numbers jumped up this year. And you know, you look at him, he's got a quick, like a short stroke to the ball. Like you kind of like it because you kind of hope that, okay, in this modern age, understanding that just about everyone, even guys who don't strike out a lot, still strike out relative to what we saw 40 years ago in the game. But you're hoping that it translates. And I think he's, you know, the ceiling for him, I don't know. I mean, I haven't given it thought as far as like what a great comp would be. You know, I don't want to say
When
Nick
he
Mark.
grows up, what is he going to be? Yeah,
I
you
don't want
know?
to say Nick Markakis because I think Nick Markakis was a victim of his own great success his first few years to the point where then people were underwhelmed by what Nick Markakis
Yeah,
settled into
15
being.
home runs and 70 RBIs
But
and
at the same,
280 wasn't good enough,
but
right.
then you looked up and Nick Markakis did that for 15 years, right? He ended up having a Hall of Very Good kind of career. So I you know, I don't want to say Dillon Beavers is going to be that, but you're hoping he can be a guy that hits and hits for a decent average, has a little bit of pop in the bat, some gap power. He stole some bases at Norfolk, you know, so he's got some speed. You know, he's not gonna I he's not someone I'm projecting to be a future all-star by any stretch of the imagination, but he was good enough this year where, hey, Baseball America just did their updated top 100 prospect list, and He was on the back end of that, which that tells you that, there's optimism that he can be a legitimate major league player. So, it's not as though this young core that everyone's going to be an MVP candidate. I think we all have seen now, 2 or 3 years into this, that it doesn't work that way, right?
Well, I'm
But it
looking at Markakis' numbers here, and I'm just like, I remember it all vividly. I was here for all of it. A lot of it was a lot of bad baseball, then some good baseball, then he was out of here,
He was just
right?
a really
You
solid
know,
player
just
for
a
a
really
long
solid
time.
player, man. Like, and I don't know how you piss on 12, 15,
Well,
13, 10, 14 home runs or 60, 73, 54 RBIs or 45, 31, 28, 24, 27 doubles or 170 hits a year or just being a 270 hitter, right? I mean, I don't, you know.
the reason why is go look at the best years of his career. It was his age 23 and age 24 seasons. I mean, he was
Yeah, 23 home
phenomenal
runs, 112
in
RBIs.
all of
You'd
it.
like to see Jackson Holliday do that next year. And the, you
You'd
know, in
love it,
his
sure.
age, that's Markakis's age 23 year. He hit 300, 112 ribbies, 23 home runs, and
43
43
doubles,
doubles.
yeah.
Right? Like, I'm looking at that, 848 OPS, like the whole deal. And it never got there again after 23. And that's what you better hope Gunnar Henderson isn't, right?
Right. And again, these are, we're looking at a couple isolated cases, right? And we also know that, yes, you love to have players that are Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken, like Hall of Fame
If
players
Dylan
that are just,
Beavers mailed
but
in this career, woo, good career.
you'd do cartwheels, right?
Nice
I mean,
career.
no question. So,
Feed his family well with these numbers.
but the point is, and look, I'm not, if you ask me to say, do I think he's going to be that? No, I'm going to say no. But again, the jump that he made from double A to triple A, it's good to see, right?
Nick
It's good.
Markakis almost had 2,400 hits. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, from
Wow.
Nick Markakis from about 2010 on, and look, I'm not picking on Orioles fans here. Every fan base is like this. When you see a player do look like he's going to be a great Hall of Fame caliber player his first few seasons, but then it kind of levels off and plateaus into merely a good ball player, more often than not, people end up being really disappointed in that. But when you take a step back and then when you evaluate what it is, you say, wow, that was a really good career. So, I mean,
We
just
do
about.
that with like Jimmy Smith around here, right?
Sure.
In
I mean,
football.
Jimmy Smith was disappointing until you kind of looked up and said, okay, I get it. The durability was an issue, but man, that guy was a really solid corner for a long time and ended up being a perfectly fine first round pick. Not a Ray Lewis, Ed Reed legendary first round pick, but a perfectly fine first round pick. So, that's where you just look at this and, I mean, Brandon Young's the most re you know, the example we're talking about because it's fresh in our minds, but go look at Kyle Bradish's first 10 starts in the majors. Go look at Grayson Rodriguez, injuries aside, but knowing what he became second half of 23 and what he was last year, his first 8 starts in the majors, it was rough. I mean, I'll use a more historic comp for you. Roy Halladay got sent all the way back down to what? Single A and rebuilt himself into becoming a Hall of Fame pitcher. So we know that development is not linear. And a point I've tried to make this year, as hard as it's been because of how badly this went off the rails, because of the injuries, because of the bad offseason, because of the underperformance. Yes, all of it combined. There is a reminder, and I used it earlier in the season a little bit more because, at that point there was still the thought that, hey, you have 100 games left, you don't know what's going to happen. But you go look at those Astros teams, and I brought this up to you. Remember, 2015, they were viewed as being ahead of schedule. They made it as a wild card. They won a series. They took the Royals, who won the World Series. Go look. They took the Royals to the brink in a series. They went to a deciding game. You know what happened in 16? They got off to a bad start and they never really recovered. Now, they didn't have the kind of bad year that the Orioles have had. It hasn't been to that degree. But the same point holds true that the following year, not only did they rebound, but they won the World Series. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Orioles are going to follow that same exact script. But the point is, you've got young ball players. You have an organization that, from a payroll standpoint, and yes, I'm projecting out and expressing some expectation here, although I don't know how high it
Well,
potentially
they
will
don't have
go.
anything on the books, you
Yeah,
know?
that's my point. Like on paper, there should be plenty of flexibility to make moves and make what you hope will be good moves, better moves than they made this past off season. But between that and having a group of young players that are going to have all the runway they need the rest of this season to play and play and play some more, you're hoping that enough of that will come together come next spring, that it's a fresh slate and you're new manager, presumably, new coaching staff, presumably, and we're going to see what it looks like. And development's not linear. It can go up and down like the stock market, and but there is plenty to play for, even if it doesn't matter in terms of where they are in the standings, because they're in last place and they're out of the race and they traded off guys that would have helped them, right? But there's enough here to still stay engaged as a fan in a hopeful way. Not saying you should cancel your plans on a Friday night to watch Brandon Young pitch, although certainly if you did Friday night, you were happy. But let's see how this plays out. But on this weekend, for what it was and what it meant in terms of promoting a couple of your top guys and Colton Cowser coming back off the IL. Hey, Colton Cowser, you got to play better the rest of the year. This has not been a good year for you, but he's got a chance now to go out there and play. He's probably going to play a lot of center field the rest of the way to see what that looks like in terms of trying to figure out whether this team has a center fielder or they need to go get one this offseason. But we're going to see. There's a lot of evaluating, but man, there should be a lot of competition. These young guys should all be looking at each other. And Westberg alluded to this. He's alluded to this a couple times, and I'll leave you with this, where it's like, there is no one else. Like there's Santander's and the Cedric Mullins and the Austin Hayes and Mountcastle's still here, but there's a good chance he's not going to be here next year based on where he is arbitration wise and all that. There are none of those guys anymore. So, hey, go do it. Go play. Go look like the core that everyone's been talking about all these years, the foundation that started with Adley Rutschman being 1-1 6 years ago. Go out there and look like a group that is trending upward going into the offseason, and then see what Mike Elias or whoever's making the decisions, whoever's making the moves, assuming it's going to be him at this point, go out there and put together a team that's ready to hit the ground running next spring. And if they can do that, I think, not saying that's going to sell all the tickets they want to sell this offseason, because I think that's a totally different discussion for another segment, but I think people will be optimistic and ready to hopefully have a much better 2026. But that begins with winding down the rest of the season on a much higher note. And this weekend was a good start to be able to do that.
I feel like I lost track of Nick Markakis when he left here. He played in 156, 158, 160, and 162 games in the 4 years, 5 years after he left here.
Despite the
Like,
concerns about his neck, remember? I mean,
crazy.
that was the,
Yeah. He had 162 games in his year 34 year and had just a phenomenal season. 14 home runs, 93 RBIs, 43 doubles, hit 297, OPS 800. I mean, like, crazy. And you'd look at that and say, well, that wouldn't be good enough for Dylan Beavers, or that wouldn't be good. I'm like, I
Heck
don't
yeah, it
know,
would be. I'd sign up for that in blood for Dylan Beavers right
yeah,
now.
but you know what? If Jackson Holliday only did this, you'd say second baseman,
I mean, it's one one. I mean,
And it's terrible. If Jackson Holliday only has 2,388 hits, how many hits does his old man have? You don't
I
even
mean,
know. I can get that. I'll grab that number
all a
because.
very good player. But hey, but this is one of the arguments that I made about Matt Wieters all those years. Like, look, Matt Wieters never became Johnny Bench. We all understand that. Matt Wieters still, look, he's not what everyone wanted him to be, but he was still an all-star catcher, still a gold glove caliber catcher.
I would have told you that Matt Holliday had more hits than Nick Markakis, but he didn't. Matt Holliday had 2,100 hits, 300 home runs,
All very
drove
good,
in
though.
1,200 RBIs, had more RBIs than Markakis, 299 lifetime batting average. I mean, the Colorado early numbers stack him up because he had monster Colorado years at a couple of age 25, 26,
Fair
27.
enough.
He had some extra padding in his numbers that if Nick Markakis had played in Colorado, he probably would have, he would have been a 30 home run guy, right? So, but I, these are really good ball players. And if Jackson Holliday's as good as his dad,
That's what you're hoping.
it's still not a 1-1. You know what I mean? Like, which is really weird
I would
because I think it's
disagree with.
crazy.
I would disagree with that. I mean, we also have to understand there's a 1-1 every single year, and the 1-1 doesn't. I mean, There are plenty of guys that were 1-1s who never amounted to anything special. So, but hey, Jackson Holliday's another guy. Good, very encouraging steps made in his age 21 season, but there needs to be future steps. And he'd be the first to tell you
His
that.
dad didn't
So,
get his first hit till he's 24.
exactly. I mean, that's where you have to have
I'm
the.
looking at this.
And by the way, let me. And this is
He's
my.
going to have 500 hits before his dad got an at bat.
And let's also remember Samuel Basayo literally turned 21 a few days ago. I mean, we're talking about he's the youngest player to debut in the majors this year. I mean,
Should have taken him out and bought him a beer.
I know, right? Let him. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. I'll leave you with this. Go check it out. I'm sure most Orioles fans saw it, but they did the video of having his father call him and inform him that
He
he
was
was
in the
going to the
coffee shop.
majors. It was so cool. I
Yeah.
mean, I don't say this about a lot of things at the Orioles, especially in 2025. Well done on that. That was really, really cool. And that was neat that they shared that. Getting to have his father enjoy that, and that we all got to, peer into the window of getting to see what that was like for both of them.
All right, Luke is appearing into the window of more last place baseball this week, but we're trying to be cheerful about it. The Ravens are a couple weeks out from playing. I did a whole bunch of work down at Mako. If you think of it as public service, that's cool. I talked to Republicans and Democrats. I talked to people east of the bridge and west of the bridge. I talked to male and female and black and white and young and old. So it's a lot of conversation. I hope that you enjoy it here during a time when these are conversations we need to be having around here, especially with the team in last place, and no football going on. But Luke will be out monitoring all things Ravens. We'll have some reports against the Commanders. Saw a few Commanders fans down in Ocean City. Also saw some Steelers fans as a mixed bag this time of the year. I sat with Browns and Bengals fans among me as well down at Mako. We had a great, great time down there. All of our 27th anniversary tastiness tips are brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness as well as GBMC. We're bringing the show out on the road this week. We're going to be at Fadley's on Thursday. We're going to be at Pizza John's on Friday. Next Monday, Costas in Timon. And then next Tuesday, we move back downtown to Slauson and Fells Point. We'll wrap things up at Coco's next Wednesday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have Pressure Lux. I have Lucky Seven Doublers. My eternal thanks to the Bronfine family and my friends at Far & Daughter and Curio Wellness for having me out on the golf course at the PGA and the BMW Championship. It was just great, great day out of Caves Valley. Well done for the Steve Fader, everybody out there, Buddy Mariucci, everybody that just puts that thing on. It was just an unbelievable show. Well done. Saw so many friends out there. Want to make sure that I'm still tallying off from all the golf, getting you ready for all the conversations this week, and also get ready for football season around here. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.